Hello, everybody. Welcome to or welcome back to Room Australia Podcast. I'm your host, Ali Tombe, and thank you for joining me for episode 10. I say this every single time, but I cannot believe that it has been 10 weeks. It's been the greatest 10 weeks, I would say. Every single day, I think I'm growing more and more grateful for this little community. I had a friend earlier today send me a voice memo about one of the episodes, the self-love and identity episode, and I cried because she was just like, oh, wow, this like shift in my perspective or all these different things. And I am so encouraged by that. And so if you have a story like that that you want to tell me, please let me know. I might just listen to the voice memo and cried. I'm like, wow, like I didn't realize that people were actually learning something or people were actually getting something out of this podcast. And so if you are, please shoot me a message. I would love to hear your story and also just grow this community. I think more and more, I am more grateful for each and every one of you guys. And if even if it's just for one of you guys, I would continue to do what I am doing. So yeah, I'm going to be so honest. This has been hard to film or record. For the past 8 episodes, I've been one take wonders. Let me tell you, this has not been a one take wonder. I get about 20 minutes into an episode and I'm just like, or into the episode and I'm like, Lily, what are you doing? And I think there's a lot of pressure surrounding this episode for a couple of reasons. One, I think it's about a topic that's very near and dear to my heart. And two, it's actually the topic that you guys asked the most questions about. And that makes me so happy. Today's episode is all about faith. And I specifically waited until the very end of our little February/March with the Mixed Reality Google Form Q&A thing. Because I think that my faith is the guiding principle of how I navigate all the other relationships that we talked about. I think my ability to now love myself is rooted in the fact that I found who I am in God. And I would say, you know, relationships and all those different things, I would say family, all those different things, I think I wouldn't be who I am if it wasn't for understanding what that looks like. So yeah, but I think in order to answer you guys' question, you need to know a little bit about me and my story. I also haven't been able to really record this because I've cried multiple times, but I'm strong. Right. Nothing wrong with crying, but I think this episode, it might be a good one. We will see. But let's get into it. Okay, so I talked about this in, I think, episode 1, but I grew up Catholic. I think the term grew up is really interesting to me because I think it wasn't that long, and I think a good chunk of my life I wasn't Catholic, so I think that's important to know. But yeah, from age 0, baptized Catholic, to about age 10, we were kind of in the Catholic Church a lot. My siblings went to Catholic school. I didn't. I was the youngest, you know, no money. I'm kidding. But I just wasn't in that. And so my siblings would probably, you know, sing you guys the Bible song. Could probably, you know, tell you some biblical scriptures from their brain and all those different things, but I just wasn't on that level. It's really interesting, but I felt like a bad Catholic from a very young age because I didn't have my faith. I wasn't taking faith formation classes. I didn't have my first communion. I was just baptized and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm a terrible person because that's the only thing. And I haven't gone through all these different steps in order to, you know, get to know God and all these different things. And so I was very confused about religion. But one of my best memories I remember is we say BSAC. And if you know, you know, Blessed Sacrament. That was the church that we went to in San Diego. And there's a bunch of Sudanese people who went to that church. And so at the end of after every service, we would all go. There's like a big tree with benches and stuff. And all the parents would sit. They'd have legamats, which are like little donuts, and they'd have shai, which is tea, and they would sit and they would talk and they would catch up. And then all the kids, we'd probably be eating pizza and just having a blast. We would go jump the Catholic school fence and play in the playground and have a good time. And we just stay there for hours. And I think some of the best memories occurred. I remember I thought I broke my finger in that, like, parking lot playground. Like, I just had the best. I think many of us could probably relate to. I was really young, but I do have a lot of memories that I remember. I was also always so scared to jump the fence. Mind you, I was probably like 5'5". Like, I had no reason to be scared. Mind you, I was young. I've been tall my whole life. So I'm like, probably like, anyway. But I remember I was so scared to jump the fence, and the day that I finally did it, everybody was so proud of me. I was also just a goody two shoes. I'm like, we're going to get caught. But we were fine. I don't think they had security, so we never got caught. But good times. Shout out to the BSAC crew. It's crazy because I think a lot of us are like in our 20s. I think the younger end of the BSAC crew is like in their late teens, which is insane. Some of them are in our 30s. It's crazy. The BSAC crew has grown up. We're all in different stages of life, but shout out to you guys. Anyways, I feel like I was an unofficial member because I didn't go to the school, but I was always there. I was always there. Okay. Anyways, my family and I moved from that area to a different part of town, and we kind of started going to a different church out there. But then also at that same time, my parents were going through stuff and kind of didn't really make us go to church as much anymore. It was no longer like a priority. We went for a couple years, but it was like on and off for a while. Still up until this point, still hadn't had my first communion, still hadn't had my faith formation classes. So I was just going on vibes. And I just always remember when we would go to church, I'd be sitting there for the hour that felt like 6 hours, and don't even get me started on the Good Friday Mass. Love you, Jesus. But it was a lengthy service. If you know, you know. Or was it Christmas Eve? No, I think it's the Good Friday service. It's a Good Friday service. And where you like stand up, you kneel, you stand up, you kneel. And it's, you know, that service I think is 2 hours. But, you know, let me tell you, Sunday Mass felt like forever to me. And so I'd draw on the envelopes. I'd get in trouble. I'd try to go to the bathroom to waste time. And let me tell you, there's just something like I just have very vivid memories of when we moved, we were kind of going on and off for a while. And I was in elementary school at this time, you know, new school, new kid. We were in like a predominantly white neighborhood. I was like a very noticeable person. Kids are not the kindest, to be completely honest. And so I went through a lot and I was very confused and I didn't really feel like I fit in any way, shape or form. I was going to say something. I don't know if I should. To make matters worse, I got my head shaved when I was in fourth or fifth grade, and so that was just like, wow, like you want me to get bullied even more? Sorry. That really didn't need to be said, but I was gonna say, like, it was just a lot. Like, it was a lot. But at that time, I was very depressed. I will be talking about mental health probably for a good chunk of this episode, to be honest. So if that is not a conversation that you are up for listening to or whatever the case is, then I would tune in to the end of the podcast episode so you can hear the Q&A section of that. But anyways, I was very depressed. I was very confused. I was very lonely. I never felt like I really had any friends or people that genuinely cared about me. I felt very isolated and very forgotten in more ways than one. And I was so, so young, which is very heartbreaking to think about. And so if I could look back, and say something to elementary, middle school Lily, I would say that I'm so proud of you for continuing to overcome and keep pushing, because I think I could not see past like my moments of pain and confusion and hurt. And I really just didn't feel like I mattered in any way, shape, or form. And obviously I didn't know that these thoughts were not necessarily like normal for a 9-10 year old to have, but I was just very confused and very scared. And because I felt so isolated, I never really talked to anybody about it. And so I kind of just continued, and I was living in this like trap of just feeling very unloved in every way. And that was really hard. And so I think obviously those are like your pivotal, I say everything's your pivotal moment, but I would say definitely like elementary, middle school, some of the moments in which you really like your self-esteem is being built, who you are, like your identity, all that is kind of being formed, and to not have a sense of self or to not feel like you matter at that time, I think is very detrimental to a lot of things. And so I struggled with mental health for a very long time, but I never really knew what like mental health was. It wasn't something that's really talked about in my community as a whole, but I was just very confused and lost and broken in more ways than one. And to make matters worse, I was like, okay, they talk about this God that loves me and all these different things, but where is he? Right? They talk about all these different things, but why do I have to jump through 60 hoops to get to him? And so all these, like, all the religious guilt of feeling like I'm a bad Catholic, like maybe this is why I feel this way, is because, you know, maybe God's punishing me because I haven't gone through all these different steps and all those different things. And so those are like the thoughts that I was kind of grappling with at that time. And so that was really, really hard. And I think each and every one of my siblings and I were definitely struggling with something, right? Or maybe even the same things. Obviously, everybody experiences everything differently, but we weren't really talking to each other about it. Like, this wasn't a conversation that was really open. Like I said, mental health isn't something that was really discussed in my family or in my community at all. And so that was really hard. I'm sure we all walk through various things that we don't know about. And so that time period was really, really hard for me. And so I remember it was 2015, and my mom had told us that we were going to be going to my aunt's house in North County and that we needed to pack our bags because we'd be gone for a couple of days and that we would be going to their youth group and all those different things. And I didn't really know anything outside of like Catholicism. My brother went to like a non-denominational Christian school. And so I think for his graduation, I like briefly got a taste of what that was. They did worship for his graduation. And I think even then I was like moved. I was like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful. But besides that, I really didn't have or really understand that there was more outside of my bubble. In the sense of Christianity, I think one thing that's very important is I was never raised by my parents in particular with the mindset that anybody is less than because they don't believe what you believe. I always had mutual respect and understanding for people who either didn't practice religion or didn't follow the same religion as me. I was never taught to hate people because of that. By my parents. I'm saying specifically by my parents because we'll get into that a little bit down the line. Thank you. Okay. But we got shipped to Carlsbad and I remember, like I said, I only knew Catholic Church and my cousins were like, okay, we need to set up. So we're going to have to go early. I was like, what are you setting up? I'm like picturing like a big building with a bunch of pews. It's like, we have to, you know, we have candy, we have food and we have decor. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like thinking of pews with like a big bucket of candy on the end of it. I'm like, how are you setting up like candy? Like, I was just really confused. I remember going and like my mind being blown. Like, I'd never seen a church that just filled with pews and all that stuff. And I was like, the lights are so beautiful. And I was just really like amazed in that moment. And, you know, I didn't know what was coming. Let me tell you that. Obviously, at this time, I think my relationship with faith was very, I don't understand it. I felt like I was very far from God. I felt like God hated me. I was very confused. I was also mad at God. I believed in him, but I was mad at him. And all those different things. And I remember we were sitting in service and the pastor was preaching a message and she was sharing her story. And she had been through a lot. And I felt like in that moment, she was speaking directly to me. There's a room full of 150 people, probably more. And I felt like this woman who I didn't know, who didn't know me, was speaking directly to me. And she preached about tunnel vision. And like I had said a little bit earlier, is I felt like I couldn't see past the pain and the hurt that I was experiencing in that moment. And so that's why I felt like it was a direct message to me. And I will say this, and I will say it multiple times, I think there are so many coincidences in my life for them to be coincidences. Like, I think there are just things that are just perfectly lined up that I know are not by accident. And so, and I'll say this, like, I went to that church for a very long time after. I don't think I've ever felt like a message was so directly related to me than that one. And I remember just in that moment, I think all the lies and things that I believed about God were kind of broken. And I felt that God just met me in the midst of like my hurt and my pain. And it's kind of hard to understand unless it's something that you've experienced yourself. But like, for going your whole entire life just clinging to the faith that your parents have for you and not really understanding what that could look like for yourself, or going your whole entire life being taught religion, 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 and rule, 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 and not the basis of all that, what is a true like relationship with God. Like, in that moment, all of that being broken, I think was just a relief. I remember going down to the altar and I was crying because I was so lost and I was so broken. And I mean this, like, if I didn't have that moment in which I just felt like God's presence so heavily in that moment, like, I would not be here today. And I can say that with full confidence. Like, my life was going down a very scary route in the sense that I didn't feel like I had value or I didn't have purpose or anything like that. And I was very isolated. And I know that if God didn't interrupt me in the midst of all of my pain, like, I wouldn't be standing here. I wouldn't be speaking to you guys right now. And so I think the reason why I approached this podcast episode with a lot more, like, you know, I was very nervous about it, is I understand that, like, for me, like, my faith was like my everything. Like, I was at the lowest point of my life. I think I approached this topic with a lot of sensitivity as well, just because I know a lot of people share very similar stories in which something traumatic happened in their life and they prayed to God and God showed up. Or, you know, like me, they're at the lowest of the low and for some reason your plans get interrupted and all those different things and God just shows up. Like, I know a lot of people have very similar stories and I know some people don't, and that they were able to understand who God is like on their own and they didn't have to go through a lot of traumatic things in order to experience who God is. But I thought that sharing that would give you a better perspective as to what my faith journey kind of looked like. And I would like to say that from that moment forward, my life was all sunshine and rainbows, and it wasn't. But I will say that I remember after they like would ask if they could pray for you or pray with you. And I was just sobbing. I was hysterical. I couldn't even put into words that like I didn't feel like I mattered. I didn't feel like I was seen. Like, it was weird. Like, everybody was super nice. Like, even before all this, it was like, oh my gosh, like, for some, I was, you know, getting made fun of at school. I didn't feel like I belonged anywhere. Everybody made me feel like I was special. It was super weird. And then I go into this church and they're preaching about tunnel vision and being so focused. And I was, you know, I was so focused in my pain and my hurt and all those different things. And in an instant, like, I felt all of that just wiped away. And I feel like I truly got to know from that moment forward that I didn't have to buy God's love, that God's love was so freely given to me, and that God wasn't mad at me at all. He was very proud of me. And that all the lies that I believed about myself, that I was, didn't matter, that I was unworthy, that my life wasn't worth it, like, were all just wiped away that moment. And it's just so overwhelming. But my life wasn't sunshine and rainbows after that. That is for sure. But one thing that was really good is from that moment forward, I was like, oh my gosh, I want everybody to be able to experience this. Like, I want my friends who I know are going through really, really hard times, who, you know, their parents' separation is really kicking them down, or they're very lost in who they are. Like, I want all of them to experience that. And so because of that, I was like, let me start a prayer group on my middle school campus. And I was in sixth grade, I was too scared. And then seventh grade, I was like, I'm doing this. And I had an amazing advisor that advised me in that. And mind you, I went to a public school in middle school, and I, you know, prayer wasn't something that you do. And so we kind of started this little club on Tuesday mornings. And I think the second year it was Thursday mornings, in which we would just come together. We'd pray for our families, our schools, individual things that we were going through, our country, our teachers, and all those different things. And I've just seen, even in that, just thinking about, like, all the different things that have come out of that, and just honestly, just seeing, like, God's hand in that, I think was just so beautiful. And I know I talked about, like, you know, filling up vans and taking everybody to youth group and all that stuff and all that mess with me. But honestly, just seeing how my true intention with all that is understanding that I knew that, you know, my life is forever transformed because of that. And I wanted other people to experience that. And so that's where that was coming from. And so I loved the opportunity that I got to lead my peers in prayer and all that stuff. I think it was very beautiful and I loved it. And I also was, like, a part of Fellowship of Christian Athletes at that time, and got to do that and work with people from different churches and stuff like that. And that was super cool. But I would say that the downside of that is I think whenever I would mess up, I think the whole, like, you're the church girl mentality would come out. And I mean mess up in terms of, like, I stub my toe and I cuss. Like, that's what I mean. I think people often say, like, I'm not perfect. Like, Christians aren't perfect, as a way to justify their absolutely terrible actions and behaviors. It was nothing like that. It was, like, little, like, innocent in the sense of, like, I stubbed my toe and it just came out, like, you know. And that was hard, and I kind of, like, took that personally. I don't know why. I felt like everything was kind of like an attack on me. I eventually realized why, but anyways, we'll get to that. And so from then on, I was kind of just serving a lot. I was on the worship team, ended up worship leading, was a student leader, and all that, and was very involved in my youth group. I was a stage manager, and so I was doing a lot. I was team lead of the cafe team. It was a lot, okay? And then COVID-19 happened, and there was a lot of hurt and pain and stuff like that, I think, particularly coming out of the church, and a lot of negativity and stuff that was happening with everything with Black Lives Matter and all those different things that really just completely turned me away from church, completely turned me away from God, to be completely honest. And that, I think I'll dissect that a little bit more. I would say if anybody can relate to church hurt or overcoming religious trauma and stuff like that, I would like to unpack that. We can do that in a future episode, but this episode would be 6 hours long if I, you know, really unpack that a little bit more. But I was just really, really depressed. People who, in my opinion, were supposed to mirror who God was spitting hate and was spitting negativity and was spitting division. And it was something that it felt like a real personal attack. And it was like they were kicking me when I was low. That's what it felt like. Like, I was in the midst of seeing so much violence, so much destruction around me, and so much just pain. And then being kicked while you're down, like, sucks a lot. And I know this doesn't make complete sense, but it will when we do our part two. And so I thought, okay, like, if these people claim to be, you know, God's people, like, this is how God feels about me. And once again, that whole shame kind of creeped in once again, and I was really just turned off from God. And it was really, really hard. And I think I realized eventually in that moment is because my faith was attached to these people rather than me finding that on my own. And so when somebody who claims to follow God hurts me, I think God's hurting me. And that's what I realized, is that I needed to disconnect the people from who God is. And I will say this, I think as Christians, you are held to a higher standard. You are supposed to act in accordance of who Christ was. But there's a lot of people who don't do that. And it's because we aren't perfect. But I'm never going to use that I'm not perfect to justify, like, you know, very horrible actions. But I think once I realized is that like, that's not who God was. And I had to really learn that myself and really dive into who Jesus was and realize that like, my faith no longer needed to be attached to a physical building, right? Obviously, churches were closed and all that stuff. And if my faith in God disappeared because all of a sudden I wasn't in church, I realized I didn't have faith in God. I had faith in a building that could go at any point in time. And so I really took that time to reflect and understand what that looked like for me. And so reading the Bible on my own, trying to listen to worship music on my own, trying to go on prayer walks on my own, and just really understanding that like, your relationship to God doesn't have to be tied to a physical building. I think there's power in community. However, I think it's sad that a lot of people will try and spin their own twist on things and preach politics instead of the Bible or whatever the case is. And we can have a whole debate on that one, but we're not gonna tonight. And just all those different things. I think if you are not strong in your faith or you do not understand who God is or who you are in God without your pastor's opinion, without, you know, your parents' opinion, whatever the case is, like, you're easily manipulated. And so I would say understanding who Jesus is and who you are in him before, you know, you go full dive and join every single club or whatever the case is very, very important. And so that, I guess, would be my encouragement for anybody who is in a similar situation. And we are asked all the time, is like, if the church were to disappear tomorrow, would your faith in God disappear? And if your answer is yes, then let's work on that. Let's start, you know, doing small steps every single day in order to bring us closer to God. And yeah, that's what I will say when it comes to that in particular. So despite all the pain and all that stuff that I experienced during like COVID with all the political nonsense and all that stuff, I still went back to that particular church because I felt community. I felt like I wasn't alone. And so that was really important to me. And so I kind of continued to endure a lot of things because I was like, it's better to be with people who in some way, shape or form look down on you or judge you or whatever the case is than to be alone. Which, let me tell you, I wasn't alone, but I felt like I was. Fast forward, I'm continuing to serve on all these teams and continue to get plugged in. I'm worship leading and doing all these different things. I'm very involved. I would say my faith in God is getting stronger and all that stuff. And then I have a meeting. I think I had said I was cafe team lead, and we had to go to these trainings every once in a while outside of like our technical trainings, just like general trainings by our like directors to see like how we're doing. So I was in this training, there's probably like 15 of us in this, and it was people from various teams and stuff like that. And our directors were talking about how oftentimes we'll put so much on our plate because we realize that like a couple of things. One, we're afraid to just sit with our thoughts and be alone in all that and let God truly work on the things that we need to work on in our life. Or two, you think that filling up your plate with so much is going to make God love you more. And when I tell you, I felt like, 7 years of like all this different stuff was just like, my mind was like blown. And I know that sounds very simple, but I realized in that moment, so like signing up for all these different teams and doing all these different things because I genuinely wanted to, or that I feel called to, was it because I thought that in some way, shape or form, I was going to be making up for all the mistakes that I made, or I was going to somehow be buying God's love. But God's love is very freely given to me. There's nothing that I could do. There's not enough teams that I could serve on that would make God love me more than I already was. And I didn't realize that. But in that moment, that whole idea kind of just broke for me, and I realized what I had been doing. And so that was kind of like a pivotal moment. I think that was junior year of high school. And so for the last 2 years that I was at that church, I was serving with so much intention. I knew that I felt called to junior high because I know what junior high was like for me. And I felt like maybe I could be a source of light, a source of motivation, a source of faith for young girls. So I was a junior high leader for a while. I felt called to worship at this time as well. And that was just a beautiful thing that I got to do from very young age. I think the first time I ever worship led, I was in eighth grade. And it was for an event we called the Lock-In. It was for the junior hires. So that was my first time worship leading, which is like worship leading as in like completely, you know, writing the set and doing all these different things and all that stuff. And, you know, doing the cues and all these different things. And it was really, really crazy. I think I fell deeper in love with God through that. I was able to use a gift that I was given by God in order to glorify him and all that stuff. And so that was really beautiful for me that I got to do. And I really, really loved that. And then I was also serving at cafe as well. It was a way for me to get my creativity out in a different way. And I loved it. And I think the girls that I was working with, it just brought me so much joy in that time. And so much connection and even so much wisdom. I randomly had like mentors from like different shifts that I would work with that were honestly just such a source of light and love and joy in my life. And I think I was called to be in that. But really, because I was in a place in which I was supposed to be pouring into other people, because I was a leader in that, I was still getting poured into. And that was something that was so beautiful. And also, that's when I had that realization that I was just doing so much because I thought that I was, you know, going to make God happy and make God love me. And I wish I could say from then on, Lily lived a beautiful and luxurious life, and she loved God and everything that she did, and she never had doubts or anything like that. And that would be another lie. And so we're going to talk about college. In 2024. Oh my gosh, it was like so long ago. It was literally last year. Actually, coming up on, I think a little bit more than a year ago today. Anyways, I was at college, right? And like any college student, you want to find community, you want to find friends. And I particularly wanted to find community who shared my faith, right? I wanted to find people who believed in God, you know, valued relationship with God over religion. I was really looking for that, right? And so I remember one day, one beautiful day, I was walking from the gym to my dorm, and I get stopped by two girls, and I'm wearing a UCSD basketball shirt because I just need to paint the scene. And they're like, hey, you want to play with us? And this is very normal, right? College, my school in particular, everybody's nice for the most part. Like, it's very rare. It's very normal for you to talk to a stranger. Like, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know if every college is like this, but, you know, very kind, you know? But I'm wearing a UCSD basketball shirt. I don't go to UCSD for context. And they're like, do you want to play basketball with us? I was like, oh, I gotta go take a quiz, but thank you so much. And they're like, oh my gosh, wait, when's your quiz over? Like, we're gonna be here for a while. I'm like, I got a little work to do today, but like, maybe I'll play with you guys another day. They're like, perfect. Let's like exchange contact information. Okay. I think I was on an Instagram detox, so I didn't have an Instagram account at this point in time. I actually did like 4 or 5 solid months without Instagram. Let me tell you, everybody needs to do it at some point in time. Best 4 or 5 months of my life. I'm kidding. And you know when I got it back? Valentine's Day, because I'm crazy. I don't know why I did that to myself. Anyways, I was nosy. That's why. But I didn't have Instagram at the time. And so I think they asked my number, and I'm like, okay, whatever. Kind of weird, but if there's a problem, I'll block them, right? So I give them my number. And as soon as I give them my number, they're like, hey, we're actually part of this group, and we want to help students with their spirituality or something like that. I'm like, okay, interesting. I'm like, okay, perfect. Like, I'm looking for community. And so I'm like, really weird that you would like pretend to try and like want to play basketball with me and then tell me that you're part of a group right after. But okay. But I'm intrigued. I want to find community, right? I've been at college for 3-4 months at this time, and I still haven't found a church that I love, right? Or that preaches the Bible, or, you know, instead of their own agenda. Anyways. And I'm like, okay, interesting. They're like, oh, like, we can meet up. We can talk about this. I'm like, okay, sure. And so we had planned to meet up a little bit later in the week. And I had told my roommate, and I had said, hey, this is what happened. Can you come with me? She's like, yeah, totally. So she's like, let's do this. So I pull up to this little meeting. Guys, this is going somewhere, I swear. I pull up to this little meeting, and there's one girl that was there, and then there's another girl that was not there. And she's like, oh, she had to go somewhere, but I brought this girl. And I was like, oh, okay, my roommate's coming. She's like, what? I was like, yeah, my roommate's coming. She wanted to join us. And then she's like, oh, no, like, we prefer to do this individually. And I'm like, okay, well, my roommate's coming, so I don't really know what you want me to say. Like, she's like, okay, then we're going to, like, split, because we think everybody's, you know, individual relationship is different, and so therefore we want it to be separate. I was like, weird, but okay. And mind you, at this point, I had been pretty strong in my faith for about 7-8 years. So I understood things. I understood red flags. I understood things that were not of God. I was with it. Okay. Me and the spirit were together. Right. So I was like, okay, weird. So I'm taking note of everything. And I text my roommate, and I tell her they didn't want you to come, but you're coming. So she comes, and they split us up. And immediately my spirit just feels upset. And I'm like, okay, let's wait this out, right? So immediately she starts asking me questions. And first, one of the first questions she asks is like, trying to gauge how close I am with every single one of my family members, as well as my roommate and people in my life, and trying to see how close they are to me. And she had said, like, for example, if your roommate doesn't, you know, have a good experience, is that going to mean that you're not going to continue with us? And I was like, not necessarily. She had asked me, one of the first questions she asked me is, do you have a boyfriend? I was like, no. Very weird question to ask somebody one of the first times you meet them, but okay. I was like, no, I don't. She was like, okay, good. Because sometimes even the people closest to us will try to pull us away from God, meaning like your boyfriend, your family, all that stuff. And she had said, sometimes God needs us to completely get away from and isolate from even the people in our life. I'm like, interesting. Ding, ding, ding. taking note of that. Red flag again, but okay. And I don't have the specifics, and I actually do have the notebook, but I think I'm a little bit too, I don't want to open it. But we had gone back and forth, and she had said a lot of things that were just not biblical, and I could see that she was really trying to get me isolated from the people who I care about the most. Not because they were a bad influence because they didn't believe in God, but because she said that they just were bad people. Even if they believed in God, even if they loved God, that they were just not good enough. And she said a lot of things that were not biblically accurate. And when I would try and ask questions or correct her or get clarification, she would just say, I'm not God. I can't answer that. I'm like, okay, but you're telling me this. And I'm asked, okay, how does that make sense? She's like, I was like, I'm just trying to gauge where you're coming from. We banter, we go back and forth where I'm asking her questions. I'm trying to figure this out. She's telling me I'm a terrible person. I'm going to hell. All my friends are going to hell. That, you know, God's disappointed in me. Just a lot of things that I knew weren't true, right? There's a lot of back and forth. And at this point, I'm like, okay, this is a lot. And it's weird because we're in public, but a lot of people who, like, even if I seen in public, like, wouldn't, like, say hi to me, were, like, suddenly saying hi to me and were, like, suddenly coming up to me. And she's getting really angry about that. She's like, wow, you sure do know a lot of people, huh? Like, was getting really mad and say a lot of, like, passive comments. Just taking notes this entire time. Basically what I'm trying to get at, and if you guys want the full story, comment down below, Lily, we want the full story, is lo and behold, this is a cult. This is a cult. If you go to my college, you know that this cult is notorious. Actually, there's a lot of cults on my college campus, unfortunately, but this was a cult. This was not a Christian group. They were disguising themselves as one, but this was a cult. They didn't really, you know, fully believe in the Bible. They said that all the pastors that have ever been in my life have lied to me. All my leaders have lied to me. My family's lying to me. She was trying to push me away from anybody. She was trying to see if I had any intimate relationship with people to see if it would make it harder for me to isolate. I did my research. I found out that this is a known cult group on my college campus. And the cult leader, allegedly, this is all alleged, potential, allegedly, quote unquote, you know, not fact check, but pretty much, is run by, like, a 7-year-old man who's married to, like, a 20-year-old, and they get students. A lot of the people who were, like, the girls that were talking to us, I think one of them went to UCI, and the one went to, like, a neighboring college, and they used to be students, and then they made them drop out of college. They made them forget their parents and their family and to break all ties and relationship with them. They have to pay, like, a fee. They have to pay, like, a monthly fee or whatever the case is. And they also have to go to college campuses and recruit more people for this little organization, we'll call it. And so, yeah. I like to say that I was so, you know, I will tell you the full story eventually. But that moment in time, like, completely, like, changed me. I don't know how to explain it. I remember going to my room. Eventually, once I got out of that situation, which I will tell you guys full story one day, and just sobbing and being so, I think I had, like, my first panic attack that day, like, just being so hysterical and so, like, upset. And, like, even, like, all the things that I knew were lies, like, some were how were, like, seeping into my brain. Like, I felt like everything that she was saying about me was true. And I knew that none of that was true. And so I was so turned off from any form of church, any form of religion, any form of anything for a good chunk of time. And so that was really hard for me. And so I kind of had to relearn and unlearn a lot of things from January of last year to where I'm at now. And it was a really crazy moment in time. So I survived a cult, but I wasn't ever in the cult. But it was, even that was a very, sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to say cult on here. I'm going to anyway. And it was a very, like, detrimental thing to my mental health and also to my faith. And that kind of, I had to restart everything from scratch from that moment forward. Because I believed all those lies about myself. I believed a lot of lies about God that were told to me. I believed a lot of random stuff. And so that was that. And I was going through it for a long time. Could barely get out of bed. I don't think I left my room for 3 days after that. And my roommate, who also was meeting with these people, didn't have the same experience per se. And so it was hard for me, and I felt like I was going crazy because she didn't experience fully what I had experienced, I felt like. And so I was like, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe this isn't what happened. Maybe I'm just overthinking this, whatever the case is. But no, I'm confident that that is what happened. And I also did my research after that. Obviously, in that moment, I was like, this is weird. Red flags are going off. But it wasn't until I did my research after I was able to leave my room that I found out what this was. So yeah, that was my story. And so that I kind of have to, like, relearn a lot. It was a lot. And so I was saying that my big journey has not been linear. There's been a lot of ups and downs and stuff like that. But I was honestly able to get back to the source of who God is and not listen to, once again, what the crazy people were saying about him and were saying about me. Okay, so here I am now. Much better, right? much more intense. And what was really sad is up until that moment, I was doing so, so well in my faith. My devotions were read every day. My Bible was read every day. My worship music every day, right? I was doing my daily journals. I was praying. I was living life. And then that happened. And I was like, oh, okay. And everything kind of shook a little bit. And then in that moment, I also realized that I think I was kind of back into that whole like junior year mindset that like, was my faith attached to people or was it really strong in who God was? And so that's what I had to truly, truly unlearn and really, really learn that like, I can't let people shake up my faith and my understanding of who God is. But anyways, that was the Spark Notes version of that story. If you want the full story, let me know. I will record it for you guys because it gets crazier. Guys, I actually do want to tell the full story one day. But once again, this podcast episode would be like 6 hours long if I did that. But there's a lot more to that story. And I will pull out the notes for you guys if you want. So let me know. DM me. Comment down below. Be like, we need the full story time. But this is a word for anybody, especially if you're on a college campus. Be safe. There are people who want to take advantage of you in a very vulnerable transition time period and will try and throw a lot of things at you that aren't, you know, the best. That's why I really encourage you to know your Bible and know who God is so that you're able to combat those different things in that moment. But also shout out Sarah Tombay, my sister, because she knew that I was meeting up with these people. And I like, as soon as things got weird, I was like, I need help. I need to get out. And she helped me get out of there. So anyways, mwah, love you. All right. So that's what we're going to talk about. That's all I'm going to share for my story. I'm doing much better now. I am a lot more, I would say, strong in my identity. And I think God has really learned. I think I'm learning the heart of God, and I think he's learning my heart again. He already knew it, but you know. But once again, I'm not perfect. I am not. I try and live a life, I would say, that emulates Christ. But it's, I think, something that I fall short of every single day. But I keep getting up, and I keep trying. Okay, now let me pause real quick because I need to pull up the questions that you guys asked because we need to get into it, okay? Okay, so on brand, my devotion for today, sorry, as I'm pulling up the questions, was on Jeremiah 31:3, okay? And it was talking about how, like, the gift of God is such a free gift. I think it's so interesting that, like, the basis of what I was saying is, like, I was trying to buy a love that I didn't need to buy, and that was what my devotion was about today. And so I think it's just beautiful. Anyways, you don't have to pay for God's love. All right, let's pull up these questions and get into it because you guys had some really good questions. I do know there was a question. I also posted this on my Instagram story and or on my close friend's story on Instagram like a month ago. And I know I was asked a question about my faith. They were asking about faith on college. So hopefully my little story told you something. I would say faith when it comes to college in particular, I think you have to be extremely intentional with everything that you do. I think especially when you go to college, if you're away from home, like you have so much freedom like you never had before. Your parents aren't making you go to church every Sunday. And you're able to do things you've never been able to do before because you're kind of on your own. You have such a high level of freedom. And I think if you aren't rooted and your morals aren't solid in who God is, you are going to fall short. You're going to fall short regardless. But I think you have to be really intentional with a lot of things. I would say who you spend your time with, what you spend your time doing, what environments you allow yourself in, I think will ultimately make or break how your relationship with God goes while you're in college. And I think understand there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be times when you're questioning a lot of things. There's going to be times in which you're really solid in it. But I would say allow yourself to go through those seasons. I randomly this year ran into a lady who I didn't know she was pastor, but she was randomly at this like alumni dinner that I got invited to. And I was talking to her and we just had a very long conversation about faith and how I was at this like weird point. Well, this was last year. I was at this weird point in faith and we talked about so many different things. And it was for the first time ever that I had somebody who was a leader in the church look at me and validate me and say like, your feelings and your ups and downs are very normal. Like the things that you're confused about, like all of that is a normal and it's okay. And don't beat yourself up for not feeling very, very strong in this right now. Like allow God to like work through you and discover what this means for you and all those different things. So for you, wow, there's a lot happening. For you, I would say the same exact thing. Just allow yourself to kind of go through it all, but just remember your why. Stay grounded in that and also have friends that hold you accountable. My roommate, she would hold me accountable last year. So I would say, yeah, have people who know who your heart, know what your heart is, and surround yourself with people like that as well. Because let me tell you, temptation is real. You can do whatever you want here. Get people who are tell you, hey, get it together. Get it together. Love you, but this isn't you. This isn't you. Anyway, so somebody asked, how has your faith evolved over time and what experiences have shaped that growth? I think this whole thing was kind of talking about my faith evolving over time. I think there's a lot of things that I also didn't share. that maybe if you guys are interested in episodes about faith, we can dive into a lot more. But I would say, my faith has definitely had ups and downs, but I think as I go through all those seasons, I'm getting stronger in my belief in who God is. But yeah, what does faith mean to you personally, and how do you define it in your life? That's a good question. Okay. For me, my faith is my belief and understanding in who Jesus Christ is. And I would say my faith for me is the guiding principle of how I live my life. I think Jesus was a very perfect man, and a very loving and kind man. And unfortunately, I think he's getting painted in a not very good light, because a lot of people who claim to follow him are kind of just taking over and do whatever they want. But I think the Jesus that I read about in my Bible and the man that I've grown to know and love is the definition of love. And so that's what my faith means to me. It's like a belief in him and trying to live my life that in a way that honors him in the way that he lived his life when he was on earth. Okay. How do you stay grounded in your faith during difficult and challenging seasons? I would say for me, just clinging to what I know, right? Like, I think like my faith and my belief in who God is often rooted in like my personal experiences. So like I've shared like at the lowest moment of my life in mental health, like knowing that like if God can pull me out of that, he can pull me out of anything. And so during those seasons, I think just reminding myself of like who God is to me and knowing that like nothing is too big for him or too small for him, because I think sometimes we, you know, think that our problems are too minuscule for God, but they're not, I would say. And so just reminding myself that, also just reminding myself what the truth is, like going to the word, going to people who know it very well, listening to worship music, and reminding myself that this too will pass. But yeah, what role does faith play in your daily routine or decision making? Yes, okay, daily routine. I'm trying to get a lot better about this, but I've been really, really good. I will say I'm very proud of myself. Is I work really early in the morning, so I try and wake up and read my Bible and do my devotion and journal and start my day off on a good foot. You know, positivity, you know, just grateful every single morning. That's what I try to do. And then I hop on work. I work and I go to class. And I would say daily routine, like just trying to take time and like ground myself. I think if I'm like super stressed, I'll just turn on my worship music while I'm walking to class or whatever the case is, and just trying to ground myself. I try to think positively and, you know, just I just have a higher level of gratitude throughout my day, especially when I start off my day like that. And yeah, I would say that. And then daily decision making. I know the corny, what would Jesus do? You know, bracelets. Yeah, I know. I have a few. I don't know where they are, but I know I have a few. But honestly, just trying to be like, I think decision making and like daily tasks, I think if you have like an understanding of who God is, it's kind of just engraved in you. It's wired in you to kind of like do that. I don't know how to explain it. But I would say for like harder decisions, I think it definitely takes me like stopping and like praying and trying to figure out like what this is. Like even this podcast, I had to pray like 60 times in order to figure out what route I was going to take this or whatever the case is. But yeah, I would just say it guides mine every day. In my decisions. Have there been moments where you struggle with your faith? Yes. And I think if you've never struggled with your faith, are you human? Come on. I've gone through seasons of questioning, of doubting, of being angry, of all of the above. And I navigated through those times by letting myself feel all those feelings and understand that there's light at the end of the tunnel, but also seeking guidance when I couldn't. Like when I couldn't get through it. Like that little pastor that I randomly ran into at the most random thing in the world. Like, and then she didn't tell me she was a pastor until later. Like, I just think it was like these moments like that, like seeking guidance from people and all that stuff. In what ways has your faith community supported or challenged your personal beliefs? Ooh, that's a good question. That's a beautiful question. I'm gonna be so, so honest right now. I think the community that I grew up in terms of faith really challenged my belief in God more than anything, unfortunately. I would say one thing that it was really good about is community. And I believe that God highlights community a lot and the importance of that. And so that was really good. But it was a good community. That's another thing that God talks about. And I don't think it was for me. But I think it challenged my faith a lot. It challenged my sense of identity, my sense of self, my mental health, all of the above. To be so, so honest. And I think I'm now at a place where I can come to terms with that. But yeah, they challenged it a lot. I think also, like, let me get myself in a little bit of trouble. I think there are some things that, like, whether it's politically or whatever the case is, that a lot of Christians, like, stand on that I don't necessarily agree with. And so that's where things get a little bit challenging, is because I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe I'm also a terrible Christian because this is something that doesn't make sense to me, but somehow they're so, so firm in believing this, like, politically or whatever the case is, like, how does that make sense? So things like that. I would say. Definitely challenged my beliefs. But I think it's also, it's challenged my individual beliefs, but I think it's also strengthened it at the same time. Like, I think because I had those questions and because I didn't always agree with everything, like, I was able to go research and go find things on my own. So that's what I would say to that. How do you approach moments of doubt or uncertainty in your faith? Go to your source. Go ask God. And in moments of doubt and uncertainty, go read. I think there's so, and I know that sounds so, but there's so many answers. There's so many things that I think we can find. And I think don't allow yourself to just sit in that confusion or in that doubt. Like, go and look, go research, go find. But you're going to go through moments of doubt. You're going to go through moments of uncertainty. It's definitely guaranteed, almost. And I just would say, remember your why once again, and go back to that, and go back to your source.
Okay.
This is a person's like entry. I grew up with my parents telling me I was Christian and that I was baptized. But now that I feel older, I feel like I'm a bad Christian and I've been lied to my whole life about my closeness with God. I want to go closer to God, but I feel like I'm not sure how. I feel like you could probably relate really heavily to this podcast episode because that was literally me for the basis of my faith. I would say, I was also obviously baptized as a very young little lad, and told that I was Christian. And I also struggled with feeling like I was a bad Christian because I felt like I was really, really behind. I would say start with the small things. Like, start by, I don't know if you have like a devotion or a Bible or something like that, and just try and learn for yourself. Because I think obviously having parents with faith is great, but unless you find that on your own, it's not going to sustain you. It's not going to last. And so I know it's really sometimes overwhelming, especially when we're like older and we're like, where do I start? But I would say just start with the little things. Like, if you want specific outlines as to like, okay, I have a Bible, where do I start? Like, please reach out to me and I will gladly send that your way. But I would just say start with little things. Start journaling. Start, you know, trying to have conversation with God. Try to pray. That people are like, how do I pray? Have conversation with God and invite him into like just your daily start off or end your night with like a quick little prayer, and start with little things, and you'll see how it'll honestly like start to transform your life in those little ways. And you're not a bad Christian, and God is very, very proud of you. And I think it's like, I think what's really interesting is like, if anybody who has like a good relationship with their father, like their father here, or a bad relationship with their father, it's like seeing that like there's somebody, or just knowing that there's somebody that loves you so, so much that it's beyond what you can comprehend, I think is something that's very reassuring and very comforting. That somebody looked out into the entire world and thought like, the world needs a Lily, the world needs a Samantha, the world needs a Brittany. Like, God knew that the world wasn't complete without you. And I think that's such like a beautiful thing to think about, is like, you were born at this exact time for such a time. They always used to say, for such a time as this. And I think that's so, so valid. But understand that like, you're right where you need to be, and just allow yourself to discover and explore what your faith in God looks like, and practice relationship and having a relationship with Jesus rather than religion. Okay. Do you think it's important to read the Bible daily? Is there only one way to shame yourself with Jesus? I constantly pray, but I don't read the Bible as often as I should. A couple of things. I think it's very important to make an attempt to read the Bible every single day. But I think sometimes we get in this like slump where like, if I forget to do it one time, I feel like I'm a terrible person and then I don't read it for a week. I think it's really important because I think it's the source of where you get all your information. It's the source of your faith in some ways. And so if you're able to read about who Jesus was when he was on earth, if you're able to read all these different stories and stuff like that, I think it strengthens your faith a little bit more. It makes you be like, wow. It kind of gives you the sense of like awe and wonder a little bit more than if you were just to like pray every single day. I still think that you can grow your relationship with God with praying, but I do think it'll take it to that next level if you do read your Bible. And it's very overwhelming. It's very big. The Bible is very long, but I would just say specifically, if you're trying to understand the character of Jesus, I would start in the New Testament. You know, I'm a big fan of John, so go ahead, read John, learn a little bit about any of the Gospels, I would say, is a good place to start particularly. But it's really interesting, like, just sit there, open, it's really good, right? You scroll on TikTok for a long time, let's scroll in that Bible, okay? And then let me preach to myself, anyways. I constantly pray, but I don't feel like I read that Bible as often as I should. I would just say, try and prioritize that, and let me know if you think that helps you. I don't know how to explain that anymore, but yes. Okay. Sometimes I wonder about different denominations of Christianity, and I cannot help but wonder if I'm seeking the right truth. Can you relate? Yeah, we talked about this too. a little bit today. Grew up Catholic, started going to non-denominational Christian church, and then do all these different things. I was always really confused as to why there were so many denominations if we were praying to the same God, reading the same Bible. I was really confused. I didn't really understand that. I think that also goes back to, I've said this a million times today, but starting your faith in the Bible rather than like shopping for a church and then like backtracking, if that makes sense. This denominations question, I think, is a really good one. I think it's something that I can definitely relate to. I would just say, like I said, I don't want to preach that I'm saying do things on your own, because I do think there's importance in community. However, I do think there is importance in establishing what your relationship with God looks like before you start like shopping for denominations, if that makes sense. That's why I always say I'm like non-denominational, because I believe if you believe in who Jesus is, if you believe in the Bible, if you believe in all those different things, then I don't really understand it. I'm just going to be honest. I don't understand why there are so many denominations. I don't really get it at all. I think we are all praying to Jesus. However, I will say Catholicism and any other form of Christianity are very different. So I do want to put that out there as somebody who grew up in Catholic church. Very different, right? You know, who you pray to, different as well. So that is the one thing that I will say is very different. But if you're talking about like Baptist and Protestants and stuff like that, I don't know. Also, this is me being like a weird history nerd. Also, going back to see like the amount of like tension that there was between the different denominations of Christianity from the very beginning of time. Also, just really interesting to think about. Just things to think about. I don't know what. Maybe it was created to make us more divided. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't think there's no different denominations in the Bible. So I don't know. Anyways, take what you will. And somebody said, "How do I know if I believe in God or not?" Okay. So I think everybody goes through their seasons of questioning. I would say, was your belief in God planted by somebody else, or was it something that you discovered on yourself? Because I think I was really confused as to whether or not I believed in God, because it was what everybody else was telling me that I did. And I was like, no, I don't really, because I don't really. I would say taste and see. I would say, let's dissect this. I would say, have you ever felt like a sense of connection to God? Whether it's like a sense of peace after you pray, or after you listen to worship music, or whatever the case is, like, what does that look like for you? I know a lot of people like experience, like I had said, like that day when I had gone to that church for the first time, like it's something that you can't really understand. I think that's what I knew. That's what I think I really knew, that God was real. And then I would say, like, do you find yourself kind of turned off or drawn towards this idea of God? Like, do you find comfort in like what are known as like traditionally religious things like praying or worshiping or like different things like that, I would say. And then I think everybody has different reasons for their faith. Everybody has different stories and things like that for their reason. But I would say doubt is normal. I think everybody goes through doubt. I think questioning doesn't mean that you don't believe it. I think it's actually you try to find a deeper understanding of what that could look like for you. And yeah, I would say, yeah, it's like, I would say your belief in God is very personal. I think it's one that you have to kind of come to on your own. But I think those are just some guiding like questions, I would say, that you could ask and like reflect on. But yeah, I would just say allow yourself to feel all these different things when you're on this journey, because I think it's one that can be long. But I think I think of why we struggle is because we get mad at ourselves for like questioning and things like that. And I don't think that's what God had intended. But anyways, this is a long episode. A lot of ups, a lot of downs. Some tears, less than the first time. So that's great. But I want to say thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Remix Reality Podcast. I hope that I was able to offer some sort of perspective for you guys. And if you have any questions, I think this one in particular, you guys asked a lot of questions. I think there's some that I also didn't even get to, so I do apologize. But please reach out to me. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about this. And if you are interested in a couple things, one, me talking about church hurt and overcoming religious trauma and all those different things. If you want me to talk about finish the cult story time and tell you all the details, I will. As well as anything you want to see in the future of Remix Reality Podcast. Hopefully by the time this episode is out, the February with Remix Reality form will be gone, and a new form that is asking you to put in any questions that you have for me at any point in time for the rest of this season of Remix Reality Podcast will be open. So you can put your ideas for the podcast, you can put questions that you have, whatever the case is, and that will be up with this podcast episode. So the February with Remix Reality form will be out of the Instagram bio, but it has been an absolute pleasure getting to read all your guys' Q&As. And so that's why we're doing the open Q&A thing. We're not going to be doing Q&As every time because we got to get back to our regular scheduled program. I'm kidding. But I have already gotten some requests for what people want to see in the very near future with the podcast. So getting started on that very, very soon. But with that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope I was able to give you a source of, I don't know, motivation, entertainment. Maybe you're interested in faith a little bit more. I don't know. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about some things. And I will see you guys all in the next episode. Until then, this has been Remix Reality Podcast. I'll see you guys next week.